1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 1. Now, you heard this morning, as we were in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, the kind of soldier that a Christian is to be. All Christians are soldiers. We're all in warfare. We are called to fight the battle. And those verses tell us what kind of soldier we're supposed to be. And one who was a soldier like that was David. I mentioned this morning, David was the man here in this chapter. Verse 1, chapter 17, 1 Samuel. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered together at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet 9 inches about. A cubit like being 18 inches. So you got six of those and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That'd be about 125 pounds. His coat. And he had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It means it was thick. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. So the head of his spear was 15 pounds. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. And Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Fighting is generous to say. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw that man, saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. And when the words of which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail, and David fastened his sword to his arm, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it was so when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Let's pray. Lord, this is a great victory on that day by childlike faith, a young boy, one who would be a mighty warrior, but who was not so because of his age or his strength, but by his faith. And I pray, Lord, we would see that and be able, in what way we have in our warfare, to be this kind of soldier, even as we've looked at the qualities of a soldier in 1 Corinthians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have heard this story so many times, and we started hearing it when we were kids, because in our blessings that we have, most of us have had, we heard Bible stories. It's a blessing for a child to hear a Bible story. And you don't have to imagine, you know what kind of stories are being heard by kids today and what kind of shows are on TV. Just heard last week, I don't watch these shows, but a couple of 13-year-old boys kissed on a show. Homosexual pushing at 13 on these shows. That's the kind of stories they see and read and hear about. And to hear a story like this from our childhood, where we heard about this great giant, and we probably had pictures in Sunday school or wherever we heard this in a Bible storybook, we saw this giant man, this man that was 9 feet 9 inches tall. And you talk about being able to dunk a basketball. A basketball goal is 10 feet high. He barely could walk under it. And if the net was, he would tangle his head up in the net. That's how tall he was. But not just tall. He's a giant of a man. And really, it was an easy thing to say, let's just two of us fight, you pick your man, and I'll be on our side, and whoever wins, just wins for everybody. So this is what happened, that Goliath kept pushing this for 40 days. This is a spiritual battle, in a sense, at this point, because the children of Israel are the people of God. And Goliath was of another religion, had other gods. There were more than one god in Philistine territory. And so this became a fight between the Lord God and the gods of the Philistines. So this champion goes out, huge, unbeatable. None of us here, seeing a man who was 9 feet 9 inches tall, let's say he was all muscle at 450 pounds. None of us are going to say we have any chance whatsoever, except it be by the Lord. We're given a description of Goliath in detail, what he was wearing, what he was carrying, his height, because the Lord wants us to see what David was up against and what the armies of Israel faced. And verse 8 is this taunting. He taunted. Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. There's the deal. It's, you know, a challenge. And Saul is going to be the one who is most expected to answer the call. But there's something about Saul coming into this chapter. In chapter 15, Saul was rejected as king by God. He spared Agag and did not fully follow the will of God. And so Samuel told him that the Lord had rejected him from being king. Chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul tried to save face, but end result was he wasn't favored by God. And he was still the king, but he was no longer favored by God as king. God had rejected him, and God would replace him. And chapter 16 gives us the replacement. And the replacement is none other than David. David, in chapter 16, is anointed as king, the least of the bunch. Didn't even show up because there was no way that he would ever be the king. Israel at this time was all about appearance. Saul was a man who was head and shoulders over everybody else. He would have to be the king. You know, he was the tallest in Israel, and here comes Goliath, who is the tallest and the most mighty there. And so it just seems appropriate that they would fight each other. But Saul was having none of it. Saul was not a man of faith. And so when Goliath showed up to challenge Saul, Saul had already fallen from the favor of God. He had already been rejected as king. And David had already been anointed as the king. In chapter 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see, now Saul has become under the judgment of God. He's now being troubled by the Lord. And he's had some tough times. When he goes into this distressing time, chapter 16 tells us, verse 17, Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." He said, you know, let somebody play and be relieved. And one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." So he was a brave young man, and he was already noted for that. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul said to Jesse, sent to Jesse saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was. Whenever the spirit from the God was upon Saul, David would take a harp, play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So there was back and forth with David. But you see, Saul is rejected. He's not a man who's going to step up. He's not a man who's going to be like the characteristics we saw in 1 Corinthians 16. He's not going to be watchful. He's not going to be brave. He's not going to act like a man. He's not that person. He doesn't stand fast. He's been overcome. Now he's being distressed. And so here's his next distress, Goliath. And you know, everybody in the army, Saul, head and shoulders over everybody else. You know, everybody in the army is thinking, well, Saul's got to go and fight him. Saul's got to be the man. It should be that way with us. As Christians, if there's a problem that people have with God, we should be the ones they think about. We should be the ones that say, "Well, I know that person is a Christian. Ask them about it. They'll know what to say." This is most likely, I would think, what everyone expected Saul to do. And so in verse 10, when the Philistine says, "I defy the armies of Israel this day, give me a man that we may fight together," it says, "Saul and all Israel heard those things, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They shrunk back like cowards. It was just impossible. It's the same spirit of the spies. When the spies went out into the land and when they came back, "What's the report?" they said. What happened? What did you find? What was the situation?" "It's a great land," they said. "Wonderful land. One of those places where, you know, it flows with milk and honey. But there are giants in the land, and we can't fight giants." And they said that not long after escaping Egypt, as they did, with the power of God and through the Red Sea and all of that. So they brought a bad report. And the bad report spread. So that after they said, the 10 of them, of the 12, said that they could not go into the land because there were giants there. And they were not saying it, but they were saying by their actions, "The Lord can't deliver those into our hands. They're too big." Unbelief is like gravity. Every time you drop a ball, it'll hit the ground. And unbelief in unbelievers, we gravitate toward that. And the 10 plagues and the wondrous work of God through the Red Sea, all of that is lost, because as soon as they got over the other side of the river, they opened up their hand and the ball fell to the earth again and they were unbelievers again. It didn't take long. Unbelievers in practice. They were unbelievers in their soul already, most of them. So they said, "We can't do it because they're giants." And here, same thing. "We can't beat this man because he's a giant." And in fact, when David goes down there, we're told that Jesse sent him to see how the older brothers were doing, and sent some food with him and things like that were, you know, very nice to be given. So David, we're told, goes and delivers those things and comes to see what's going on. And it says, we're told in verse 20, he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. And there's some things I don't understand about this. First, we're told that this had been going on for some time. Verse 16 says, "The Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening." And every day, apparently there was this parade out of soldiers to face off, and then a Goliath would show up, and they would all get scared and run off. We're not talking about one time of disdain and shame, but 40 and 40 days, morning and evening. So let's say 80 times this man has shown up and challenged Israel, and not one man stood up to fight. Not one had faith. Not one saw it as a battle that God would honor with victory. Nobody. Not Saul and not the men. So David shows up and he runs to the army and greets his brothers and sees what's going on. And as they were talking, here comes Goliath. And he says the same thing. In verse 24, "The men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid." Now, they've been doing that. I don't know what they figured each day would bring a different, you know, different response. Maybe overnight he passed away. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. It's the same thing. So they start talking, verse 25, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption in Israel. Now David, it seems like this is the first time he heard this. And it was like, what? Really? You get all these things for just that? Now, everybody else is saying that's a great prize, but there's no way we'll ever collect it. And David, from the very beginning, says, that's a great prize. Is it really true? Could it be that easy? It's an entirely different mentality about it. And so he asked around. It's like it was too good to be true. He kept asking people, what is it that will be done? And he confirmed it, that this would happen, all these great things would happen, if this man could kill the Philistine. And so he kept getting confirmation. His brother, his oldest brother Eliab, heard about it and got mad. Because, you know, they've been shamed so often, it's going to be on edge. And now David's coming up thinking he can do better. What cowards want is for everybody to be a coward, and so nobody feels superior or under another person who's superior. But David comes in here, he's talking confidently, and he's asking questions. It's like he's measuring the moment and getting ready to do it, and then Eliab starts pulling a Goliath on David and starts disdaining him. Where'd you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? That's all you're good for. And so David, what have I done now? So he keeps asking. Verse 30, turn from him toward another. It's like a 16-year-old is told that, you know, if you can swim across the Edisto River, you get a brand new sports car. And they go, what? Is that true? And they ask everybody around before they even get wet. And yeah, it's true. You beat Goliath. That's what you get. And he's asking so much, he's excited. Everybody else is afraid. He's excited. He's asking so much that it was reported to Saul that somebody was asking about the reward. And Saul's interested in that because this is nothing but disgrace for him. And he doesn't want to go out and fight this big guy. So Saul interviews him. And listen to what David says. Verse 32. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't let your heart be concerned about it. I'll go fight him. And Saul, of course, injects his unbelief. And he says, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You know, he's been fighting in war since he was your age, and you're just a youth and have not done nothing, and you're not able to go. You see, there's the defeat that Saul had already. That doesn't explain, by the way, why Saul couldn't fight him. Because he was not a youth, and he had not just started fighting, and he had been in battle before, and he was the king, and he was tall. So in appearance, Saul should have taken on Goliath. But then David says, I've, you know, done stuff. I keep sheep, and I've had a lion or a bear come through. And when they've come through, I've had to fight them. And when I fought them, I killed them and rescued the sheep. So verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now verse 36 tells us what David's attitude was toward it. He didn't see this as big man Goliath against little boy David. I've even heard people call this story Goliath and the giant instead of David and the giant, because David in his heart saw himself as the one who had the advantage, was bigger, because he said this is a spiritual thing. This is more than just a man showing up and fighting against Israel. This is a man who has defied the armies of the living God. Here is a man who is uncircumcised. He's not in covenant relationship with God. Circumcision was a sign among the men of Israel that they were in covenant relationship with God and under the blessings of God. And this man did not have the favor of God. He's uncircumcised. That's why it's mentioned there. And I'm going to make him like the lion and the bear. Why? Because he has defied the armies of the living God. That's the way he approached it. He was dissing God. He was grieving God. He was speaking against God. And he wasn't going to take that. You know, that's a fighting word for David. David held his love for God close. He loved God. And when God was spoken against, David was stirred up to fight for the honor of God. Somebody comes up to me and says something just awful about somebody I don't care about. I go, yeah, okay, right, fine. But then if they come up and start dissing my wife or my family, maybe even one of my cats, then it gets personal. And so with David, he saw this as an affront to God, and he should stand in the gap. And the Bible speaks of God looking for someone who stand in the gap and be a man, and David wanted to be that man. So he says, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He said he saw the Lord in his deliverance before. He had not tested the armor, but he had tested the Lord in the sense of proving the Lord. And so Saul says, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul gave in. It's probably a funny scene. Maybe we'll see the video of it in heaven. But David tries on this armor, doesn't fit him. He can't walk around in it. He's too small. It's not been fitted to him. It's not been adapted to him. They figured, you know, if he's going to go out there, he might as well have a little bit of protection. Ended up, he just took everything off and went with what he came with. He took his staff and 5 smooth stones from the brook. And that was what he went out with. And his sling. And we see eagerness in David. The Philistine came, began drawing near to David. The man who bore the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked at David, and the language that came out of that man. We're not given the language, but he cursed him by his gods and called David a dog, that you come to me with sticks. He said, am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? He called David a stick. And who do you think I am? You're disrespecting me by coming out with somebody like this? And David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. I mean, it's not boastful. I mean, really, as you read this and you see the whole story, it's not boastful. It's confidence in God. And he's everything that we're told in 1 Corinthians 16, we're supposed to be. A mighty, brave, courageous person who doesn't back down to the enemy. And David said, well, Philistine said, verse 44, come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You've come to me with weapons, and I come to you with God. And he's the only one in the army who thought that having God was mightier than everything they had, including the big guy. This day, verse 46, I will deliver you. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, of the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, in every case, this is something religious with David. It's about God. And so, here they come. Goliath, big as the side of a house. And David, small, ruddy in appearance, handsome man, young man, boy. Maybe 16, whatever. He coming out, he doesn't even have any armor on. He got a sling and five stones and a staff. So here he comes, and it was a lengthy battle, as you can see. When David saw Goliath coming, he ran, he hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. It's like the kids do here. I think the adults do as well, but not in the same fervor. They see the candy in the back in the morning. There they go. David sees candy here. This guy's defying the armies of Israel, and I'm on the side of God, and he's going down, and he's eager. And so he reaches his hand in his bag, takes out a stone, slings it, and strikes the Philistine in the forehead, and down he goes. And runs up, cuts off his head. And there was no sword in his hand. And when that happened, suddenly the entire army has faith in God. Verse 52, when the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. When they saw what had happened, the Philistines ran and Israel suddenly got their manliness back and took off after them. And David's carrying the head of Goliath around. It was quite a day. Maybe we're the one, any one of us, not by trying to be, but just by being. We're the one that in heart that enlivens the faith of many as they see the Lord work through us. That's what happened with David. Just because he made it a religious battle, it was a spiritual warfare to him. This guy was defying God and defiling the name of Israel. And so we heard that story from the very beginning of our lives. What does it mean? Well, this is what it means, that we're supposed to be good soldiers and full of faith and take the battle to the enemy in faith that God will bring victory. Let's all stand.